Most natural human prayers are for the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer. That is, all we will naturally do is say, can I have some more bread? Can I have some more bread, please? I need bread, right? And everything about sickness and your house and your family, that's all under the daily bread, right? And think of John 6 where Jesus is like, you're only after me for more bread. You know, you need more than bread. Yeah. And so you're onto something here, right? You're realizing that your prayer is atrophied into the carnal flesh's concerns. That's not to say that you shouldn't pray for daily bread. He says, do it, right? Pray for daily bread. We tend to want like weekly and monthly and yearly and forever bread. Daily bread. She goes on, so I've started trying to pray more, praying for my family, my husband, my pastor. Good for you. However, I'm often at a loss for words. That's where the Psalter is. You've already found it. Just stay there, especially concerning my children. So my question is, how do I pray for my children? How do I pray for my husband? Do the actual words matter? Thank you for all you do. So you're looking for like beyond the Psalter. And it's a fair question. And one, I don't know that I'm actually qualified to answer entirely, but I would say this, daughters of wisdom. Did you find the daughters of wisdom yet? Get into those prayers and then bring to mind your children, your husband, everybody else while you're praying those prayers. Right? Open up the Psalter, just Psalm 1 through 17. You just can't do it enough. There's just never enough of that in your life. The words carry the meaning for you. The idea that you have to somehow add your own petition is legalism. The Lord knows what you need before you pray for it. The answer is on his lips the moment you have spoken. He has given you these prayers. There's nothing wrong with asking for a specific thing. But you don't have to ask for a specific thing. And this is where this bold prayer idea you're getting at before, some of the word faith Pentecostal approach to prayer is like, if you don't ask for it specifically, you're never going to get it. You have to claim it, right? You have to go and grab it. God's waiting for you. Trickster God's up there waiting for you. And if you don't really figure out how to pray, he's never going to give you grace. No, no. He longs for us to ask for what we need of him because he is our Father. Right. And that is a joy to him to meet our needs. But it's not like he's, what father like won't give his kids good things until they ask? That's not how it works. So, I mean, my simple answer to you, Emily, is stay with the Psalms and believe in their power to reform your prayers. Your prayers will be reformed into the transformation that God wants you to be. Right? And so, you know, when I pray, the Psalter, my enemies, they come to mind specifically, whether it's El Presidente or someone local, all of these, you know, and, you know, my family, the Sons of Solomon, Psalm 126, 128 are 127, excuse me. Actually, all three of those, 126 through 128 are definitely family prayers. So you want to pray for your husband? I mean, grab those. They're not like you're not allowed to. They're absolutely about praying for the family. Praying for a pastor, you know, Hannah's prayer actually is a prayer for a pastor, a man of God. That's what she wanted. And she got one out of her son. So the words of scripture are there to be the words you don't have. And if you're like, I'm not strong enough to figure out what to pray. Yeah, you're not. That's good. This is wisdom God gave you. This is wisdom. The idea that you're somehow just going to go into a corner and come up with the worship of God is what the devil does. That's the unholy fire, you know. Again, that doesn't mean you don't get to, as a Christian, ask God for what you want. But the expectation you're putting on yourself is a form of idolatry that you've got overshadowing you. And you're free. You're free. You're free to just open the Bible and read it as if it's true and will do its own work for you. This is why I really recommend reading the Psalms in the name of Jesus. If you haven't started putting Jesus Christ in for the word the Lord, please start doing that as soon as you can. It will rejuvenate your prayers on this altar. I've already said it, so I just feel like I'm going to say it again. The Bible is there to be your prayer book. The words of the Bible are there so you can say them and then not afterwards be like, I still have to pray more. No, you don't. When and if the Spirit makes you say, Lord, have mercy, sweet, like you've prayed more. I've had a lot of fun saying hallelujah every time I burp and sneeze. So you know what my sneezes are? They're a reminder to pray. I got all these reminders. They just show up. It's Jonathan, you should pray right now. Okay. Yeah, hallelujah. There you go. On I go. Carrying the burden of prayer as if it's something you must do or God won't, this is the heritage you're trying to come out of. You're free. You're free. Let it die. And kill it with the Psalms. Kill it with repeated prayer. Don't add a word. Just go back into what God has already said, because it's more than sufficient. Those were Jesus's prayers. That's what he prayed in the garden. I mean, he did make some stuff up that got recorded. He's the Son of God. He can do that. But what's been recorded is for you. It's for you.